All right, this morning we'll look at something in Baptist history, and primarily we're going to look at a person this morning who was not a Baptist, but what he did for the Baptists in our history. And we want to look at a man which everybody will know his name, Patrick Henry, who was a Congregationalist. He was not a Baptist. And what's interesting was about him is his church, by and large, was against religious freedom. God sent him, I believe, at a very important time, a time before the Revolutionary War, and he would be used during the Revolutionary War, but before the Revolutionary War to help the oppressed Baptists. And one historian has said that Baptists are so fortunate to have as their friend the celebrated Patrick Henry. He was always a friend of liberty. He only needed to be informed of oppression, and without hesitation, he would step forward for their relief. From that time until the day of the complete emancipation from the shackles of tyranny, the Baptists found in Patrick Henry an unwavering friend. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about him this morning and some of the things he did for our Baptist forefathers. But as I said, he was a lover of freedom. He was born in 1736 in Virginia. He was actually, Patrick Henry was a failure at many things that he did. He tried to be a storekeeper. He tried to be a farmer. But really, his success did not come until he was admitted to the Virginia bar, in 1760. He first got his fame for pleading for what was called the Parson's Cause in 1783, and this was a situation where he defended the right of the colony of Virginia to fix the prices of tobacco. Because, now this is interesting, this will completely be odd to us, but the tobacco sales were used to pay the clergy, all right? So, interesting thing. But there was evidently a problem with the pricing, and he defended the right of the colony of Virginia to fix that price. And then that was contrary to a ruling from London. And it was because of that, you know, there was a real fervor for anything anti-British at that time. So anybody who would step forward to take the cause of the colony against London became very popular. At one point, he had an impassioned speech against for the passage of the Stamp Act in 1765, and he introduced a set of radical resolutions denouncing the British Parliament's usurpation of powers over the Virginia legislature. The British alone claimed that they alone had the power to tax, and Henry said no, that the colony did. At one part of his impassioned speech, he said this. He said, "Caesar had his Brutus, Charles I had his Cromwell, and George III, well, may he profit from their example." And they loved him after that, the colonists. So later, Lord Dunmore, who was the governor of Virginia, the British governor of Virginia, he would dissolve the Virginia legislature, and Henry took it upon himself to call a session of the legislators to meet in Williamsburg on his own. He, of course, was part of that delegation. He invited other colonies to send delegates to this Continental Congress, and he became the leading voice of dissent and resistance among the colonists. Of course, we best remember him for his speech in 1775 when he exclaimed, "Give me liberty or give me death." And he actually was pleading with the colonists to arm and to take on the British by force. And he actually led the militia for a time. And he actually caused Governor Dunmore to surrender munitions that belonged to the, colony of Virginia. During the Revolutionary War, he would remain in the legislature and work very hard for the cause of independence. He was elected governor of Virginia in 1776. Later, he would go back and forth in and out of the legislature as a Federalist. But so why are we talking about him this morning? He was a Congregationalist. He wasn't a Baptist. But the answer is simple. He was a sincere and generous friend of the Baptists. I'll talk about one situation here, but there were many times, and we've talked about, I've mentioned this before, and you may remember, but there were many times, and the list goes on and on, that Baptist preachers would be jailed for preaching the gospel, and they would be in jail, and this is in Virginia, And at some point, money would come into the court to free these Baptist preachers anonymously. Over and over again, this happened. And it wasn't known until after Henry died that he was the one anonymously sending money to the courts to get these Baptists out of prison. He loved the cause of freedom, and he loved the Baptists because they were the only denomination that was pushing this idea of religious freedom. And so he came behind the Baptists over and over to support them. But one instance of a situation where a couple of Baptist preachers were taken to court for preaching, as the court document said, for preaching the gospel of the Son of God in the colony of Virginia. And the clerk read the indictment in a slow, formal manner. And when he pronounced the crime with emphasis for preaching the gospel of the Son of God in the colony of Virginia, suddenly a very plainly dressed man walked in the back. He had ridden 60 miles on horseback when he heard of this trial. He walked in the back. Took a seat in the courtroom. Really, the general spectators did not know who he was, but the court officials knew who he was, and it was Patrick Henry. Again, he had ridden 60 miles from his residence in Hanover County to volunteer his services for the defense of these pastors. When the prosecutor had finished reading and made several remarks, Henry stood up and he reached over. He'd received the paper from the judge, the ruling against these pastors, and he addressed the court. And I'll read you what he said. It's just very interesting how he addressed the court, and you'll appreciate his sarcasm and his great oratory skills. He said, "May it please your worships, I think I heard read by the prosecutor as I entered the house, or this house, the paper I now hold in my hand. If I have rightly understood, the king's attorney of this colony has framed an indictment for the purpose of arraigning and punishing by imprisonment and perhaps beatings three inoffensive persons before the bar of this court for a crime of great magnitude as disturbers of the peace. May it please the court, what did I hear read? Did I hear it read distinctly, or was it a mistake of my own? Did I hear an expression as if a crime that these men, who your worships are about to try for a felony, are charged with what?" Excuse me. And he says in a very low voice, "Preaching the gospel of the Son of God." And then the court got very, very quiet. And he took the paper, he said he waved it over his head three times, and then with expressive energy he claimed, "Great God." And he said it again, "These men are here to be jailed for preaching the gospel of the Son of God." The court went silent. They said that the people that were sitting in the court were about to explode with excitement as he did this great speech. And I haven't read the entire speech to you, but the judge in a shaking voice said, "Prosecutor," and addressed the jailer, "let these men go." And this is just one instance. The face of the prosecuting attorney says was pallid and ghastly. Look, he was in shock. The judge was agitated and in a trembling voice put an end to the scene and said, "Sheriff, discharge these men." And I can't help but say, and I wanted to bring this to you this morning as we talk about religious freedom and the case of these Baptists, that God sometimes will send in His providence friends to help us when there is needed help. These men were standing for the Lord, and they were going to be in prison for preaching the gospel. And God put, I believe, at that time, this man in Virginia to protect these dear men of God, these pastors who were being jailed. And I want to thank the Lord for this man. And then, of course, later he would become a founding father of the United States as he took these principles and made sure they were in the Constitution of the United States. But I want to thank the Lord this morning for this friend of the Baptist, a Congregationalist, Patrick Henry.